Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Following On. I'm John Norman, and today bring you the very latest from within both England and South Africa camps. And whilst the England players are still in lockdown, you'll hear today from the number one ranked batsman in World T20 cricket about why he's feeling like he's come home.
I'd say when we go to Paarl, that'll be going home. That's where I made my debut, and well, my first class debut, even though it was the amateur system, and where I did all my school cricket. Sort of where I was taught the game.
You'll hear more from David Milan about what it's like trying to break into England's much vaunted top six and plenty more. And you'll also hear from South African coach Mark Boucher about whether his players will be taking the knee.
I've spoken to the guy who was driving the whole movement within our setup. He's pretty happy that we've done what we needed to do.
Plenty more from Mark Boucher and David Milan, and plenty more cricket chat. You're listening to Following On. So welcome to the show. A week from today will be the first competitive fixture between South Africa and England, getting underway on TalkSport 2 at 3 p.m. Teams and toss at 3:30. First ball taking place at 4 o'clock. Make sure you join us. Following On will also be the place to hear a review of the action with match highlights and synopsis from our top team. Three T20s followed by three ODIs, and you'll be able to follow all the action here on TalkSport 2. Reports from Cape Town and Paarl throughout with Neil Manthorpe as well. Over on TalkSport. Listen online on DAB or download the TalkSport app. But that's enough of me. Let's hear from England's David Milan, who's been speaking to TalkSport 2's Scott Taylor.
You mentioned about not guaranteeing a place in the side despite being the number one ranked T20 batsman. Can you remember a time where competition in this T20 squad or white ball squad has been as strong as it is now?
I think the competition's always been strong. You know, since this, you know, Owen took over as captain after that 2015 World Cup, you know, the players that he selected and had in and around his team, they've all been fantastic players. And, you know, I think especially the guys that have been sort of established, they sort of know that the quality of players below them, you know, the guys coming through, the Roots, the Bantams, guys still waiting in the ring, in the wings. You know, and I think that drives them to keep pushing the boundaries. That's one thing that Owen always talks about, is keep pushing the boundaries. You know, so, you know, that I think drives this team and drives the fact that everyone has to perform when they get the opportunities.
And there was a time where a few years back where it was rare for an English player to even play in the IPO. And you look at the upcoming Big Bash, there's 13 or 14 English players playing over there. Has English cricket ever been this strong in terms of the white ball stuff?
I don't think so. No, not in my time. That I've been playing cricket, you know, maybe before that. But, you know, you look at the quality of players, even domestic players coming through now are earning places in competitions overseas, which, you know, usually only would be for international players or players that knew someone from somewhere. You know, so it's a great sign for English cricket that we're producing these players. It's a great sign that we can all play in these tournaments because, you know, that's as close as it comes to international cricket, and that's your learning ground, you know, to be able to play in front of 20, 30, 40,000 players and overseas. That pressure, you can't replicate that in county cricket, you know, when you've got a 2 or 3 year contract. So to go and play in these tournaments, it makes you deal with the pressure that comes with playing international cricket.
And I mentioned the English players playing franchise cricket. A lot of South Africans have as well. How excited are you to go toe-to-toe with some of the best players in the world?
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, playing against South Africa are always a fantastic team, no matter what the format. You know, they're always a hell of a challenge, especially at home as well. And, you know, you look at the way their players did in the IPL, you know, so it just shows the depth that they've got at the moment as well. So I think it's going to be a fantastic series.
And just finally for me, just one on yesterday's announcement about England going over to Pakistan. You also obviously playing in the PSL. How safe do you feel out there, and how excited are you to go back to Pakistan if selected?
Yeah, if selected, you know, the Pakistan government and cricket board have done everything in their power in the times when I've been there to make us as safe as possible. The security details and things that you with protocols that you have to go through are unbelievable. You know, so I don't think you feel safe, or you don't feel unsafe in Pakistan when you're part of these sort of protocols that they're putting in place, you know, with all the armored vehicles. You know, as long as the standard of that stays the same, I can't see too much happening. But, you know, they've been fantastic in the past, so hopefully that continues.
Darvin Milan speaking with TalkSport 2's Scott Taylor. Another topic to come up, well, the spectre of racism, both within the UK and South African society, and cricket is never too far away from our consciousness, which is how it should be. And yesterday's England's Moeen Ali spoke about his experiences of racism within the game after a report revealed the lack of BAME representatives within umpiring and other positions of power within the ECB coaching setup.
I can honestly say, hand on heart, like, I've never experienced anything like that. Obviously played at Warwickshire, Worcestershire, and England, and I've never ever felt anything like that. I always felt like if you do well, if you score your runs and take your wickets, you play. And I've been playing now for England for about 5-6 years now, and always felt at home, always felt like one of the guys and all that kind of stuff. So personally, from a personal point, I've never felt anything like that. I've always been somebody who just bees myself, and if guys accept it, then it's good. If they don't, then it's their problem, not my problem. So I don't know. Me personally, I've never ever felt anything like that. I'm sure obviously there's other guys who say they have, and things will be and have been done about it. But me personally, no, it's always been good.
Moeen Ali there. But this is a topic that was brought up in today's press conference with Darvin Milan by Sky Sports' Fraser Dainton.
It's not something I've experienced. You know, it's not nice to hear these stories coming out, and it's, you know, it's really, really good that, you know, measures are being taken to allow this never to happen again in instances where it has happened. You know, if you look at this England team, it's, you know, people come from all over the world, and it's making it as diverse as we possibly can. And as a team, we have a responsibility of driving certain things. And, you know, we're working quite close to the ECB and trying to sort out some things and put some things in place that, you know, we feel strongly about, because, you know, there is no place for racism in sport.
Is it something that you talk about amongst yourselves in the squad?
It is something that we sit down and we have chats about as a group. You know, it's something that we feel really strongly about, and it's not something that we want to see in the game. You know, and if there's anything that we can do as a group of England players to help change whatever has happened, you know, then that's something that we will really push hard to do.
Well, South Africa coach Mark Boucher has revealed that the national side won't be taking a knee in this upcoming series against England. He's been speaking to the press and believes the team have already made their gesture of support for the Black Lives Matter movement back in July during their 3TC game.
I've spoken to the guy who was driving the whole movement within our setup. He's pretty happy that we've done what we needed to do. Especially at that particular game, most of the guys, or all of the guys that were in that game, are here in this particular setup as well. From his side, he just wants it to carry on going. Like I said, we had the hard chat since Kakuza, and he's pretty happy with where we are at the moment. There are a couple of other issues that our president has raised going forward with regards to gender-based violence and also the victims of COVID, where we'll be flying our flag at half mast. We will be addressing this with the team. So if there's a black armband to wear, that we'll probably be wearing it because of the president's call. And yeah, it's just an ongoing thing for us. It's not something that, we have to continue to show. I think it's more something that you have to live. And that's exactly what we're trying to do in our dressing room at the moment with a big squad. So if the guys who brought it up, if they're happy with it, if they feel that we have to do more, then that'll be a chat that they're open to express their opinions. Our new value system that we're putting is about respect. It's about empathy and belonging. And I think all of those sort of lead to an environment which guys need to feel free and open to talk about these hard issues. And so they certainly have got the support and respect and empathy from everyone within the unit.
Now, you can't follow a South African cricket press conference without AB de Villiers getting a mention or two. That proved to be the case again today. The batsman who scored over 450 runs for the Royal Challengers Bangalore in the recent IPL is in and around the team in terms of press conference talk, with two T20 World Cups coming up in 2021 and 2022. Here's what the South Africa head coach Mark Boucher had to say about a potential recall.
AB was in the discussions before COVID. He's always in the discussions if he's playing good cricket, to be honest with you. Going forward, I haven't had a discussion with him at all. He's been playing RPL. He had a very good RPL as well. So we'll see as we closer to the time in the World Cup. I probably will have a conversation with him and see where he's at. It's a very open conversation that everyone will get to know about as well. I've never hidden behind the fact that we have spoken to him. I still believe he's one of the best players in the world. I think he showed it in the RPL as well. So, if he's a good value to bring into the Proteas setup, then I stand by what I said before. That why not have the conversation with him?
Well, we'll chat more about AB de Villiers as well as COVID coming through the South Africa camp very shortly with our very own Neil Manthorpe, with just 7 days to go before the T20 series between South Africa and England begins. You can, of course, hear live and exclusive commentary of every ball of every game of the three T20s and three ODIs here on TalkSport 2, and you're listening to Following On.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Oh, goodness me. Jason Roy has just run down the track and has pinned his ears back and swatted it back over long on for six.
Victoria's in. Oh, that's a huge hit.
Massive hit for six. Woo-hoo! Over deep mid wicket.
Right, Ben Stokes means business. He's in.
She around the wicket. Miller swings it to the leg side. 6 more.
Here is Jordan once again. Bowled in. Here is Curran again. Bowls.
6 more.
Third one inside the power play and he's in. He's
bowled and he's hit for six over long on. What a shot from Josh Butler.
Jordan in.
Balls to Cook over deep mid wicket. 6 more. Oh.
You're listening to Following On. I'm pleased to say that Neil Manthorpe is with us. It's the first time we've heard from the South African camp ahead of the series, which gets underway on TalkSport 2 on Friday. Neil will be reporting throughout on TalkSport from Cape Town and Paarl. Saw some photos from there yesterday. And, I would rather be you than me over the next couple of weeks at Manners. But some pretty serious topics coming out of the press conference with Mark Boucher. In and around COVID, a few players have actually been diagnosed with it, and also Black Lives Matter. And Mark Boucher saying that after consultation with a couple of key individuals within the game and within the Black Lives Matter movement in South Africa, he's decided, and the team have decided, how they're going to mark it. They will not be taking the knee, but they will be making a gesture towards it. They are in support of it. Just how big of an issue is this in South African cricket in a comparison, I suppose, to UK cricket?
Well, it's huge. I mean, obviously, the legacy of apartheid is, it's just over a quarter of a century that we've moved towards a more normalized country, but it was 350 years of basically a colonial oppression. So, you know, it's going to take more than 28 years freeing Nelson Mandela to, you know, you can't just hope that everything's going to be just fine. I mean, there are still a lot of disenfranchised cricketers who feel that they were hard done by during their careers, not given opportunities. And so, it was very much a squad decision. I mean, I was quite surprised. I thought that they would have taken a knee at least for the first game, but flags will be flown at half mast around the country in support of Black Lives Matter and also gender-based violence, which is a massive, massive problem in South Africa. But it is important that people know it wasn't Boucher's decision. He did make it clear that he'd spoken to Lungi Ngidi, who became the sort of figurehead more by accident than design for the Black Lives Matter movement, but he's very happy to take on that role, and it was him and consultation with the other players who said that they had made the gesture and it was important at the time, and for now that will do.
What about the situation with COVID? I'm not asking you to name names, but three players have it. This is part and parcel of sport at the moment. It happens in football, it's happened in rugby. Of course, it's going to happen in cricket. Are we expecting that to have an effect on the team sheets, I suppose, from a week from today?
You know, I'm trying to find out which report everybody has called me up saying, which report they read and who misreported the case, because it's a clear case of misreporting. In the statement from the team doctor said that one player had tested positive, and I'm not blaming you, John, because you're, as I said, you are in the vast majority of people who've read this erroneous report. But there are three players in isolation. Only one of them has tested positive, but the other two were deemed to have been in close proximity for an extended period of time, and so they're being isolated as a precaution. So actually only one player has tested, and he is asymptomatic, which as far as I can tell, most professional sportsmen, if not 99.9% of professional fit athletes who have tested for the virus, say they have been asymptomatic. Mark Boucher revealed actually that he had it a couple of months ago. Nobody knew at the time. And he said he had a day and a half of a few aches and pains, but otherwise didn't notice it. He said he had been throwing cricket balls to some of the players in the nets, and he thought he was just a bit stiff from that. But yeah, it's a lot of it about.
I tell you what, some of the symptoms of COVID, I'm not treating the subject lightly, but, you know, aches and pains, you know, tiredness, feeling a little bit run down, maybe a little bit of a sore throat. I mean, I've got young kids, man. That's basically my life and has been for the last year or so. So if it turns out I had it as well in the last few months, I would not be surprised. I want to play you a question and the answer from Mark Boucher from today's press conference.
I was wondering if, I know during the IPL, a lot of fans and journalists, and so they like to think about an ideal Protea 11 for the T20 World Cup. And so I was wondering if you had, with the World Cup in mind, I know it's a long-term plan, like you just mentioned, do you have an ideal 11 or squad of 15 in mind? And how close are you to getting that right? And if there are certain positions that you're still looking for and want to experiment in, what are those positions?
If you had asked me this question before COVID, I probably would have said yes. But let's be realistic. We haven't played cricket in quite some time. So, you know, with regards to form and aging of players and all that type of stuff, I actually haven't got the 15 at the moment. Let's start playing. And I think we'll start working out certain positions that are solidified. And then there may be certain positions that are open as well. At the moment, because there's been no cricket that's been played, especially in our country and in white ball cricket, I'd like to give everyone an open shot at trying to put their hands up. I think it's a good space for us to be in. It's exciting because it also, you know, as a player, you sort of come into it and say, well, listen, you know, there are open spots and I'm going to be given opportunities, especially now because there's so many tours on offer. So, yeah, I think, you know, generally when you're picking a World Cup squad, 80% of the side sort of selects itself and there's that extra 20% that, you know, there's going to be some tough decisions to be made. And I'm 100% sure that I'm going to have to, well, as a selection unit, we're going to have to make some tough calls. But I think, yeah, the 80% will probably push their spots out and put a pen in the hand and write their own names in. The 20%, let's see how these youngsters come through and let's see how they perform. And then hopefully we'll be able to select a squad or maybe in a couple of months, I'll be able to give you that 15-man squad.
So listening back to that question and the answer, it's AB de Villiers, isn't it? That's the question. It's not now, but it's coming. Is AB de Villiers going to play for South Africa again? We know he's not going to play in this series. There's a feeling he might be in and around the squad. Well, it'd be in the team if he's in and around the squad. But that's the question I suppose all the journalists are just waiting to ask Mark Boucher. When are we going to see AB de Villiers back playing for South Africa?
He was a lot less enthusiastic than he has been in previous times that he's been asked that question. I think, you know, it was very much on the cards. Really, he would have played in the T20 World Cup had it been played now, as it was scheduled to be originally. I'm sure of that. I have no doubt. But everything's back in the melting pot now. You know, the next T20 World Cup's not until this time next year. And he's, you know, he's not even... he hasn't even been signed or registered for domestic cricket in South Africa. So he's not planning on playing any cricket in this South African summer. He'll play the next IPL, I presume, and maybe another T20 league, but it's really hard. He's a genius, you know, and there's no bigger fan of his cricket than me. But and Dale Steyn's in exactly the same situation. They're very similar ages. Steyn's 37, de Villiers is heading towards 37. But I think... personally, that we've seen the last of certainly of Steyn and almost certainly of de Villiers in national colours. But you know what? If he has another great high IPL in April, May next year and can find some cricket and commits himself to playing in South Africa domestically in the domestic T20 competition, which is just before the T20 World Cup, then who knows? But I just think the ship has sailed now.
It'd be a shame if that's the case. Mark Batch was also asked about lockdown. It's not a topic we have to go into in any great detail today. But I tell you what, man, I've learned a lot from you over the last couple of years. And one of the things I've learned from you is how to tour. You seem to have, over 20, 30 years, you know how to tour. You know how to fit in your exercise routine. You know how to fit in a bit of manners time, a bit of alone time, yeah, a bit of FaceTime time. But also, you know, you've got to just squirrel away a few treats in the old luggage, didn't you? Whether it's some Tic Tacs or a bit of Biltong or some Sauvignon Blanc, which you've smuggled over from South Africa. You know, you've got to have little treats in there, you know, little chocolate, peanuts. I mean, you got any top tips for the players how to get through 10 days of hotel life?
Yeah, the biggest one is don't be hard on yourself. Don't try and man up, you know. There are times when you will be lonely, when you will be miserable, when you will wonder what the whole point and purpose of this, you know, locking down in a hotel is like. I mean, there have been extensive psychological studies done on the cabin fever, it's commonly called, and it's tough. So be gentle and be kind, and if you have a bad day or you make a mistake or you forget to do something or you're feeling miserable, then don't beat yourself up about it. and just sort of go with the flow, really. I mean, it's like don't swim against the tide. I mean, I always go back to comparing things to the ocean, but you know, if you get pulled into a rip current, go with it. Just if it's going to pull you below the surface for a while, but you have to go with it. If you fight it, you drown. And so if you're in a strong current and it's a negative one, just go with it, because you'll come out the other end.
I tell you what, for people in England listening to that, wondering, if you don't live by the coast, thinking, what is he talking about? And it's absolutely right. And you don't have to just have travelled extensively around Australia, New Zealand or South Africa or places with on the coast. If you do get into a rip, just go with it. And that is the same with life in general, I think, at times. I think we all are guilty of trying to battle a little bit too hard. And sometimes you just got to shrug your shoulders and get on with it. Manners, more pearls of wisdom over the next 3 weeks. More seaside analogies and comparisons. Listen, mate, we'll talk next week. You will be across the warm-up on Saturday. You'll be broadcasting from Cape Town and from Parle on Monday. England playing a 50-over warm-up on Saturday and two T20s on Monday. Follow that exclusively. Neil Manthorpe will be the only broadcaster in world cricket at those cricket grounds. So the following on podcast will follow that. But for now, Manners, thank you. And thank you for listening to Following On. We will be back on Monday on TS2. But there will be two Following On podcasts on Saturday and Sunday to listen to on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But for now, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.